prisoners, you know, for any individual to be moved to without procedural protection or oversight.
Well, that is, I completely agree with you about the importance of that case. And this is Linda Olson-Osterlund for Political Perspectives. We've been talking with Rachel Maripolis, senior staff attorney at the Center for Constitutional Rights. I have links to the Center for Constitutional Rights. It's ccr.org. You can go there and you can actually find the cases I love on your website. Your website was really easy to use. And with the cases, you can go directly to the actual briefs that you filed and read them to understand them better. So thank you so much for joining us this morning, Rachel Maripol.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on and for covering the issue in such depth. I appreciate it.
Oh, well, thank you very much. And now we're going to go on to the rest of our morning here at KBOO. I want to thank Tammy, our engineer, and Kathleen Stevenson, our public affairs and AM news director.
Good morning. The time is 10 o'clock. That was Linda Olson-Osterlund speaking with Rachel Maripol. She's the attorney at the center and attorney at the Center for Constitutional Rights. And 10:15, stay tuned here for KBOO for flashpoints. Today we look at Brazil, where there have been massive protests against what's being called a parliamentary coup, and the police have launched brutal attacks on protesters. At 11 o'clock, The Bike Show speaks with two local bike adventurists, Jasmine Reese and Spencer Harding. But coming right up, it's Chris Andre hosting Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. Stay tuned for that, please. KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Clinton Street Stomp, Saturday, September 10th at 6:30 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater in Portland. The Clinton Street Stomp is an all-ages, unamplified, all-acoustic showcase of early roots music hosted by Zach Bryson. Again, that's Clinton Street Stomp, Saturday, September 10th at 6:30 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, September 7th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Today's guest is Cody Hall. Cody's been on before. He's the leader of the Red Warrior Camp, the activist arm of operations at the Dakota Access Pipeline site, where many of you are probably aware by this time that a temporary restraining order that halts construction on part of the Dakota Access Pipeline was issued on Tuesday, yesterday. About 100 people had once more, all over again, shut down construction on another part of the pipeline by obstructing equipment, chaining themselves to bits of the enormous earth-moving devices that had been hauled in. Some people locked the machinery, were arrested, and tense, joyous, and the mindset of people there is, let's get this thing done. We're not stopping. There's no retreat, no surrender. We have got everything to lose. People who have everything to lose. People who are fighting for their water, for their land, for the air they breathe. These people never back down. They never back down. And that's what we're seeing right now. And it's what Governor Dalrymple and the CEOs of the company that is trying to ram this pipeline too. That's what they don't understand. And by the way, Steve Horn will be back later this week to talk about how the Trump connections between these oil companies are right there blistering under the surface. I think we've got Cody on the line right now. I have this mental image of huge thunderclouds on the horizon and four suns rising all together in the four directions, and maybe one person on a horse who's been out riding all night waiting. Good morning, Cody. Thank you so much for being with us again. We are trying our best to bring reports out of all the different camps and from all the different perspectives. Iowa's perspective, the agricultural community, is up in arms. The fact that 30 people were arrested in Iowa, of all places, that's unheard of. So what's happening today that you've seen so far?
Well, today it's a... the mood is a little bit altered due to, we got rainy skies, and it's been raining off and on throughout the day. But also, yesterday, a judge ruled in favor that construction can still proceed and still go on sacred burial sites.
There's laws against that. That's against the law. That's what happened overnight. The laws shifted and changed. How did that happen?
We don't know. It's a very low blow to this whole system, this whole fight, because once we found out that they were desecrating the sacred burial sites, we took action to chase away the construction workers, which we did, but also they ended up pulling a fast one and on the people and desecrated these graves. They literally erased them from the history books and with no remorse. And so we're at a climb right now where, I mean, it's just... it's hard to fathom. I mean, really, just taking history and just throwing it out to non-existence now. And yet people are wondering why we are taking a stand. You know, they're wondering why our plight as people right now. We have our arms up. I mean, this is, this was a very low blow to the cause, and but like I said, it's not stopping us from defeating this pipeline, and it's just there's going to be repercussions that will come from this that's going to far exceed the court system, and so we just have to stay vigilant with that with that idea, with those thoughts. But it's a very low blow of what was done yesterday against law, against humanity. And like I said, they thought they brought us down, but what they really did was strengthen our cause and strengthen our fight right now. So
I can't believe I'm hearing this. There are laws that protect in place that protect burial sites, ancestral places that are sacred to people. I can't imagine what it would be like if the tables were turned and a First Nations tribe decided to bulldoze a white cemetery. I can actually, in my mind's eye, see that one. I want, how though did they've dodged number of laws, this one, and treaty laws, indigenous justice. They've dodged environmental laws. As I understand, there have not been any kind of environmental impact statements, or they it's been compromised in some way. What laws have they skirted so far that you know of?
They've pretty much went along every law and run amok on them, you know, regarding your civil rights. When we had dogs attack, you know, they put attack dogs on us on Saturday and violated our, you know, our civil rights. I mean, we're living in the 2016. We went back to the 1950s and 60s when people that hold themselves to a self high degree of wearing a badge and a gun, or saying that they work now with, you know, private security, use attack dogs on people of color to try to subdue them, to try to bring them down. Really, it's an old tactic that I cannot believe that's still being used, and America seems to look at it, especially North Dakota. I mean, I call it the Mississippi of the North. People that are commenting on news feed that are saying that, and these are non-Native people. They're making comments like, these tactics should have been used long ago. We should have annihilated all the Indians when we had a chance.
Just in case listeners missed that. That is shattering. Could you just say that again? Because I am hoping that people who are listening right now are taking this all in. Could you just say again what you just said?
Yeah. The North Dakotans are saying that, hateful North Dakotans are saying that they wish that they would have just annihilated the Indians when they had a chance, long ago. They're saying it's okay to use attack dogs on protectors of the water, protectors of sacred sites, and they're just laughing at this whole humanity issue like we do not exist. And like I said, this is North Dakota, 2016. It's the Mississippi of the North. And really, if you are somebody of color, your life is not worthy. Your life doesn't matter to the heads that be, to state and government officials, the FBI. The FBI, their office out of Bismarck, said that they did not see any wrongdoing that this private security firm used attack dogs on people. They said that there's no violation of that. There's nothing wrong with that.
Are there any in apartheid South Africa in the townships? At a certain point, the tides turn, and international watch dogs came to monitor the situation. Is there any way for people to get in and monitor and record what's going on? Because these are crimes against humanity. These crimes should be tried in international court of human rights. This is so unthinkable that I'm wondering how fast it's possible to get witness to these crimes, that what's happening right now. Do you have people witnessing this who could take legal action?
We have legal observers that have been watching these actions that are there with us. And we have their statements. We've been posting live streams, on the Red Warrior Camp Facebook page. And as we have done these things, we've had lawyers that have watched these actions. After Saturday's, atrocity to us, we had civil rights lawyers messaging us, calling me and saying, your civil rights were violated. you know, as a people. I mean, regardless whether you're native or non-native in that crowd, when they use attack dogs, your civil rights were violated. And it's so funny in a sad way that Morton County officials also do not see that it wasn't wrong that attack dogs were used on people. They're trying to subdue the message of saying, well, they weren't there. They were there. There were sheriffs that showed up on the scene and watched as this private security firm used these dogs on people. And so they're saying that it didn't exist, it didn't happen, but yet we have photos, we have people that talked to the sheriffs, you know, that were on the scene. And, you know, you take an oath as an officer of the law to protect people. That oath is sworn in, you know, you're sworn in with it. And for them to not follow that, it really just kind of, I don't, you know, how I put it is, I don't think these people they shouldn't have the authority to have a badge and a gun.
Well, I need to be stripped of all of that. Cody, I'm sorry we are out of time. Just before we let you go, though, if you could, I know listeners are probably as shaken as I am. Could you give people the websites, the resources? I know that a lot of people out there are going to want to support this.
Yes. Go to Facebook and go to Red Warrior Camp, and you will see the updates. You will see links of how you can help with legal funds or donations or supplies. And we'll keep posting those and circulating those around. So thank you for your support, and we love you all. And again, keep us in your prayers.
Thank you so much, Cody. We've been speaking with Cody Hall, the leader and founder of the Red Warrior Camp at the site of the Dakota Access Pipeline, where a lot is going on moment by moment. This has been Air Cascadia Wednesday, September 7th, 2016. Engineering Today, Tammy Dean. Thanks, Tammy. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOA News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.